hidden messages. You know what y'all are going to do tonight? You're going to help me prepare a sermon, a lecture. We're going to play teacher. Okay? We're going to kind of investigate, and we're just going to take, let's say, we've been talking about numbers, so let's pick numbers. All right? And what's 3 weeks is 21. Let's take chapter 21. And if my memory doesn't fail me, we're going to go to verse 5 to pick a topic that we can build around. We ask a word of wisdom from our Father. And verse 5 of Numbers 21 reads, Numbers 21, verse 5, "And the people spake against Moses." Remember the situation. They've been out in the wilderness a while. God's been feeding them quail on the plate and manna and taking good care of them. And they were against God and against Moses. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? We're free, but we're out here, we're going to die." They were remembering some of the good times back in St. Joe, okay? "For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." You know what that was? That was manna. Angel's food. What is the bread of life? It's Christ's word, his body, his truth, his person, if you would. That's what it symbolizes. This word. They loathed it. And here I am teaching instead of helping you all to help me read, okay? So I'll back off just a little bit here. But every time I read that verse, it just really, what a kick in the pants, you know? Take a bunch of people and take that good a care of them and then have them griping and complaining. You know, some people don't know really what rough is. I think that's why God puts us through it sometimes. I wish I could have had a bunch of you up at the reservoir in North Korea with me when there were 120,000 Chinese and only 2,500 of us. You would have known what trouble was, and you'd have learned how to pray quick. You know, oh, well, I wouldn't wish that off on anybody, come to think about it, with about 40 below and nothing but Marine Corps skivvies to wear. And hey, it wasn't that bad. I'm just telling you a sad story. Now, okay, but it can get rough. But they had it easy, and we really have it easy today. It's just that some people let the depressing news catch up with them and make them sad. Instead of thinking positive, they think doubtfully. Down the tubes, friend. You can't get caught up in that game. Okay, verse 6. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents." Boy, there's a subject for us. What can we do with that? "Among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." That should remind you of the old serpent of the book of Revelation, shouldn't it? Wouldn't you think that we can work on this a little bit? We'll make something out of this. I mean, these are even fiery serpents. Ooh, all right. Verse 7, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned." I mean, they got their act together quick. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Number one, what was their mistake? And I'll go ahead and answer it for you because you all are not equipped with a microphone like I am, okay? They should have prayed for themselves. No excuse. They didn't need a man to really pray for them. So don't you ever forget that. If a serpent tries to get in your back pocket, pray. All right, well, first get rid of the serpent. Secondly, if you don't know how to handle snakes, leave them alone. They'll bite you, all right? But anyway, they asked Moses, and he did pray. "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." What is God telling you there? It doesn't matter if the serpent of the end times bites you. Because you have an immunity. And it was somebody that wasn't on a pole, but was on a cross. And when you look at him, you live. So we can do a lot with this. What do you think our Father was trying to tell us here? And you stop and you analyze and you have to come to the conclusion, most likely, he was giving us a little example of how it was going to be, that there would come a time that people would put Satan, if you would, on that cross, as though he were the one that died on that cross. But as long as you look at the true Father, it doesn't matter. He can't harm you. You're immune and inoculated in your brain with the Word of God. You're not going to be taken in at any cost. It doesn't matter. Because why would you not? Well, there may be a bunch of them. Yes, but if you're inoculated with this Word, you've read Luke chapter 10, verse 18, where Christ gives us power over all of them. That is, if you're a believer, and I think most of you are in here. Do you know something? You can put that in your book and take it to the bank. You've got power over your enemies. Have you been using it? Spiritually speaking? I don't know. That's up to you. But man, I could just take this and we could wonder a little bit. I think we'll stop there. It's as long as they looked upon that, did I read nine? And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So, we see within that God gives us immunity to spiritually to poison of the world. It can't hurt you. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You can stand up, trust me, and act like a child of God. And God's on the throne. He's not going to give it up. It's His. He spoke and it appeared. There it was. Now, I'll tell you what. We're going to make a lecture from that. When I think of the serpent and all that kind of business, I can't help. We know what he's referring to as Satan coming upon us. So my mind runs to Revelation 12, doesn't yours? I'm trying to help you learn how to think and expand when you're teaching people. Right? If the subject kind of is what's going to happen when he's actually here, and certainly we're in the generation when that's going to come to pass, so you'd better know what to do. And if you're going to be a teacher of God's Word, you need to know, not what I tell you to do, not what some other squirrel might tell you to do. That doesn't indicate that I'm a squirrel. I said other, but I probably should have said some. Okay. Be that as it may. I would even play the fool for the Father to get a point across if it saves a soul and prepares someone. So in my mind, when I start thinking of these fiery serpents, and I kind of think of old Satan right here in the middle of us, trying to put himself, saying, I was the one that was on the cross. I don't think he'll say that, but don't put it past him. Playing Jesus. Playing Savior. So, let's just flip over to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. I'm not going to keep you real long tonight because we're going to lose an hour. And at 7 a.m., we've got over 100 baptisms. So, it's going to... 7 is really 6. You know what I mean. Okay, Revelation 12. Well, let's go right to his name. Let's just, for the sake of reading, and I kind of want to just read this through, and I want you to really focus. If you've ever noticed me, there's one thing that I try to teach, is discipline and focus. Not on some person, but on this Word. So, having read Numbers 21, let's just let it flow through our minds and think upon it in depth, focusing not on my voice or my errors, not on some flub I might make, but discipline yourself to stay focused on what you're reading. All right, read with me. Let's start with verse 7. How many times have we repeated this? Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. We know that. We know what it's going to cause also. 8 tells us, and prevailed not. He lost. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Uh-oh. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. Focus for me. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That means he's going to have company, so we can focus on that too. 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Focus for me, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How did they win? By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word, what? The word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. We know that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Focus for me, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness in her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, 3.5 times, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. Now let's stop and let's think on that. Now actually, what did we read? Sometimes it's very difficult because God hides things from you if you're not really focusing on the Word. Now what are we concerned with? Well, if Satan is cast out on this earth, what's he going to do to us? Or let me rephrase that. What's he going to try to do to us? Because I guarantee you, he's going to try you. He probably tries you occasionally now, you know. And you're probably very aware of it. Then why shouldn't he try you? You're one of God's elect. You know better. So naturally, if he can get you, he's already got a bunch. Most of them, I'll even say, set up for the deception. So you want to really focus. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to play teacher now. All right? I do that occasionally. Okay? I can't help it. So I don't know how many times you noticed I slipped. Rather than just reading through, I had to get my little, you know, something in there. All right? And I shouldn't have done that because I wanted you to think for yourself. Can God hide something so simple and plain right before our eyes when we even kind of know the Word? And the answer is yes, he can. Until the time is right for it to be revealed. Why would he give Satan so many titles? He didn't give them to him. Satan took them. Those are roles that he plays. Well, now I want you to go back with me. I want you to go back with me to that 9th verse. And the great dragon, this is Revelation chapter 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him, meaning he's got lots of help. 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. What does the word accuser mean in the Greek? Satan. All right? When he plays this role of accuser, what comes to your mind? I want to take that title. Accuser. There's a reason God listed all of his titles in this chapter. It's very important to you. Job should come to your mind. Turn with me then to Job chapter 1. Let's see, that's in the Old Testament, isn't it? Yes. And if you're at Psalms, you need to go back a little farther. And right after Queenie, Esther, we find Job. And what does Job mean in the Hebrew tongue? Persecuted. And I'm going to tell you what, Satan is going to persecute you in that role of accuser. And God wanted you to play out that role of accuser and absorb it and focus on it and discipline yourselves in it. Let's read that sixth verse. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the accuser, came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Question. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth. Where was he? In the earth. He had that privilege at that time. And from walking up and down. And you know the story. The Lord says, What do you think about my boy Job? Do you think he doesn't say that about you? Satan's there. He's the accuser. And he's not going to stop it just because he's cast out on the earth. And I imagine that, I don't know about you, but I know that I keep him busy. All right? He's accusing me of everything, some of it true and some of it not, maybe. You know what I'm saying? You with me? I want you to focus and I want you to be honest. I'm not taking any confessions, okay? I just want you to know that God hears the accusations made against you by the accuser. And wait till he gets here. God wants you to know that. Wait until he gets here. Now, I don't want anyone to panic. Hey, close the doors. They're trying to leave. No, I'm teasing. They're not. So help me. I pull boners like that occasionally. One day I pointed off like, see, there wasn't anybody even standing up. But I said something just to, hey, wake that man up over there. And I pointed and there was an old boy there just snoring away, you know. And I wouldn't have bothered him. He was so peaceful. I wouldn't have bothered him for anything. So you got to be careful. Stay focused on what you're doing and don't let nonsense get in the way like that, okay? Now, where were we? So he mentions the accuser, one of those titles that he called before. There he said, Satan, that old dragon, the devil. Well, hey, that's pretty neat. The accuser, he's cast down there in verse 10. Let's go with 11. Let's see what else we can find out here. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Don't ever forget that. You're going to need it. It's important to you because we have the victory. Did you understand? We're going to overcome him. And that's how we're going to do it. Focus on it and discipline yourself in it. For their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Hey, if it took it, fine. It's not. He can't bother a hair on our head. But if it took it, be determined enough that when you take up your cross, you're willing to be hung on it if you have to, but God's not going to let you. I don't want to frighten anyone. Close the doors again. But okay, verse. Now let's keep going here. Let's don't quit yet. 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil, not the accuser this time. Did you catch that? He changed names. He changed roles, and you had better catch it, because this is what he's going to do to you. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, why would God do that? Why would he change his name from the accuser to the devil? Well, let's see. Where is he called the devil? Because that's the role he's talking about here. That's what he wants to warn us about. Don't you agree? You got it? Okay. Well, what was he called when he tempted Christ? He was called the devil. Hot ziggity. Let's get there. Matthew chapter 4. I know that you're all familiar with this, but I'm making a point that sometimes scriptures that we have taken for granted for a long time that we understood, how much more you can get from it that is for you at that moment. He was called the devil, okay? Chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the what? Devil. Now you better get set, because he's warning you that this is one of the roles he will play. And there's only one way you can have the victory, and that's to know what his game is. You're supposed to be wiser than he is. So I know you know, but I want you to focus. 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I mean, that's really putting yourself in a weak position. And he still defeated Satan, all right? And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, did you pick up on that? When he plays devil, what is he? He's a tempter. That's why Christ went to the wilderness, to be tempted, to show you that it can be done, that you can defeat him. He can't tempt you to worship him. Rather, we find him an abomination, con artist, thinking that people are too stupid to know temptation when they see it concerning religion. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. You got that cue? It is written. Right in this word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can you live by that? You bet you can. Why? It gives you power. It gives you authority. It even brings you prosperity. Why? Because it brings God's blessings. It makes you successful in your ministry. I mean, to be successful in your ministry, you've got to shuck the cob down, friend, and put man out and put God in. You've got to focus on His Word and let it become a living thing as the center post of your work. For within it is the wisdom and the knowledge, and also the blessings that allows us to overcome. So we don't live by bread alone. Hey, God can throw the manna down to you. And God just has a way of blessing those that unselfishly, totally give themselves unto Him. Now, I'm not saying so many people, it's so traditional in Christianity. That means I'm going to sell everything I've got and give it away to the poor, and I'm going to get me a cross and start walking the highways. Well, what good would that do? That's dumb. I'll make tracts and pass them out. People don't want to read tracts. When they see you come in, they'll be making tracts. Okay? Do what God instructs you to do. God knows what He's doing. Just relax and flow and let Him lead you through the Word, all right? 5. Then the devil, there's that title again, taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. 6. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And that's something that's very important to you, and you know it. Now what's the tempter doing? He's quoting Scripture. You must understand that when he comes here, he's going to play church, not war horse. Church. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He lied. You know it, and I know it, And we'll be going before the evening's over to that, and you'll find out it's not any time as he would have it, but if it should happen. In other words, there's no chance to it. All right? Like, that reminds me of some guy that would say he'd walk down to a stream when he was all alone. He wouldn't do it when somebody was around. Say, God, if you're real, part these waters and let me walk across. And God would say, sucker, get wet. You know? Why? What would it accomplish? Now, that's my point I want to make. What would it accomplish if the man doesn't already have faith? Even if you parted the water for him, he would run like heck. He wouldn't cross. It'd scare him so bad he'd run. It would. He'd part the water and he'd see a big old crawdad out there or something that'd scare him. He'd be gone. Gone. Long gone. Okay? In other words, don't play circus tricks with God. You either believe he's real or you don't. And quite frankly, you've heard me say it before, occasionally there comes along somebody that's weak and he shows them something spectacular if he has something for them to do so that they have the courage to go on and do it. It doesn't make them special. It meant that they were a little weak, but he wanted them to do it. So he showed them. Because then they don't operate on faith because they have seen. Do you understand? So be careful when you pray for things like that. You know it's real and you know Satan lies. 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So that's my advice. Don't tempt God. But also don't let Satan, the devil that is, tempt you. You know his game. And of course Christ would continue on and say, hey, get behind me. And boom, he went. He ran. And I'll tell you today, as an active pastor, I have seen demons in the eyes of people that the oil of our people scares them to death and they run. Don't give to them. Take charge. Now, if you know what you're doing and if you have the faith to do it, I don't want anyone experimenting, all right? But why am I saying? Take it from me. We have power over his demonics and Satan. Real power. Power that makes them shake in their boots. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to this 12th chapter. Hey, that's pretty good. Pretty good there. That verse 12 called him the devil. Let's take verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast, whoa! He done it again, didn't he? Did it say the devil? Did it say Satan? Did it say the accuser? It called him the dragon this time. What could he be telling us? Why is God switching these names on us at this time? Focus. And when the dragon saw that he was cast, but he definitely said that it was the devil that he cast to the earth. Well, they're the same thing. Okay, do you understand? We're talking about the same one, but we're...